This is XA Anderson, and welcome today to the Principal Podcast. Today, I am excited to have with me Bubba Page. Bubba, welcome. So glad you're here. By the way, just as a quick introduction, Bubba Page, gosh, done a lot of things. He's a father of eight. He's launching a fatherhood movement, which we're involved kind of in the, well, we're all trying to move the same fathers here through. He's an entrepreneur, serial entrepreneur. Believes in Jesus. He's got a lot of good things. And maybe Bubba, can you explain? How would you introduce yourself?
I mean, first things first, I'm a son of God. After that, I'm a father of eight. I think fatherhood is one of the greatest callings on the planet. I think that's one of the greatest reasons we come down here to this earth, is to be a dad. So I've got four boys, four girls, ages 5 to 15. And it's an absolute blast being a dad. I am a serial entrepreneur. I got my first business started in college. I ended up exiting to my own partners and, was able to buy my first townhome and pay for a wedding ring and pay off some school debt. And then I started another business in the B2B tech world in 2009. I subsequently sold that in 2020, right before COVID. Like the day before COVID shut down the world, I got the wire. It was insane. In between that, I actually did a venture-backed software company and raised venture, learned about venture capital, what that meant. And then I played quite a bit in the consumer space and building consumer products and consumer courses, along with my ex-wife and our social media following. A couple million followers across platforms. And we help people, specifically moms, with like budgeting, productivity, and cooking. I mean, the last bit of my career is now I run influence.vc. It's a venture capital syndicate. I get the chance to invest in consumer product and consumer tech companies. And then I just include the few hundred folks that want to invest with me. So I put my own money in. And then invite others to invest with me. And then I bring influencers to those companies that we've invested in to help promote and grow the business as fast as possible. So that's what I do today is influence.vc. Outside of that, I'm coaching a lot of entrepreneurs and I've got a 12-week program called thebusinessbootcamp.com and just leveraging the skills and assets that I have to help people wherever I can.
That's awesome. That's wonderful. Before we were talking a little bit, but you're also working on something called the Father Operating System. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So fatherhoodmovement.com is soon to be launched. It's not quite there yet. And as part of this fatherhood movement, I'm creating the Father Operating System. And I've got a book behind it, a program behind it, even a community of fathers who want to be better. We want to take ourselves to the next level. We want to lead in the home, and we can feel it. We can feel that there's more that we can be doing. And the Father Operating System to me is all about having a structure and a system so that, the dads are going out there, you're hustling, you're going to work, you're trying to support and provide for your family, which is a phenomenal goal. I mean, that's a task that has been given to us by God to be the providers and the protectors of our family. It's biblical. So that's something we need to be doing. And maybe these are old school values, but I'm totally here for it. And but a lot of us will go to work, we'll get completely exhausted, both physically, emotionally, drained. We come home and just veg out. We numb out. Whether we're scrolling or watching at ESPN, whatever it is, we're not coming home with a clear mind, with a clear vision, and with leadership. So what ends up happening is your spouse is stuck stepping into her masculine and trying to lead the family when you get home. And that creates a lack of polarity in the relationship. And polarity is like a magnet. You've got a positive and negative, connection. And if that connection is not driving towards each other, guess what? It pulls apart. And the relationship can suffer when men don't step into their divine masculine role. And that is to lead. And lead in the home is a massive piece of it. So by giving a structure and a system to fathers, they can know how, when, where, what to be doing to lead that family, to teach and lead their children, to let their spouse, their wife, fall into her feminine, where she can feel playful and creative and be the nurturer and be able to do what she's divinely responsible to do. But she can't if she has to step in her masculine too often. And it's one of these concepts that I didn't realize until it was too late. And I ended up getting divorced last year. And it's something to me that obviously there's many things that are related to why a divorce occurred. But as I've been doing my own research and study and having people coach me in therapy and healing retreats, books and courses, one of the things that keeps coming over and over and over again is how most of us men have wounding that either we're not self-aware enough to know that we have wounding, typically from our childhood, and we haven't healed from that wounding. So when there's any level of emotion that comes from our spouse, we take it personally. We take it as a dagger to our souls, and then we get defensive. And we're like, but look what I'm doing for you. Look what I've done. And the moment we step into that type of role where we're defensive and we take it personally, we are incrementally reducing our respect and connection with our spouse. And over time, consistently, that will create a massive gaping hole, a wound, an area where, if not healed, can cause destruction for a relationship. And my goal and part of my mission is to, number one, bring people to Jesus, because I think he is the master healer. And so the idea behind the fatherhood movement is, number one, to remind us that we're sons and daughters of God and that he is the master healer. We need him to be able to make it back into I believe, our father's presence. So number one, bring us to Jesus. And number two, I want us to be able to heal our wounding so that we can be the men we were meant to be. And if we heal, if we truly heal and dig deep enough into our souls and rip out the bad habits, rip out the old wounds and truly heal, then we can step into that divine masculine role. And here's a visual I'll tell you about. Imagine a man is a bowl, a solid structure that holds space for water, and water is the feminine. And that water, when it's in this bowl, has a structure. It has there's space to be and flow in whatever shape or type it needs to be. That water can be cool and calm, or it can be a raging thunderstorm, but the bowl never changes. And if we have the ability as men to be emotionally regulated, meaning are we either, look, everyone gets triggered here and there, but we recognize when we're triggered and we know how to handle that trigger. A trigger to me is just our body and our nervous system telling us we have something to work on, telling us we have something to heal. If we're not regulated, then we're going to snap and react and possibly, create this defensive, environment, which is not healthy. It is not what needs to happen in the relationship. So anyway, I'm on a soapbox, but the idea behind it, let's bring people to Jesus. Let's have us all heal. And men need each other. We need a community of men who are in touch enough with our emotion that we can be manly men, masculine men, but we need to understand what emotions do to us and how we can heal and be emotionally regulated, be the bowl for the feminine to be who she needs to be. And that allows her to have that emotion, and we need to be in a place to handle it and be emotionally regulated. Anyway, that's a deeper dive than you probably wanted to go.
Great dive. I have a question for you. So let's assume that a man has healed his wounds, that he is able to be this bull, as you say. What would it look like when a woman is being very triggering, we'll say, or if he feels triggered when a woman is talking, like, what, how would a man who's healed react to that?
Yeah. And look, I'll be the first to say I'm not the expert in divine masculine, divine feminine roles, and nor am I a therapist. But I'm gathering the best and top therapists and the best who understand masculine and feminine to bring into this fatherhood movement. And, you know, they've spent 20 plus years doing this type of thing, but I feel compelled to gather the right people and resources into this movement so people have access to it. But if I could build a visual, so what happens is, if look, we've got men listening, I'm assuming. So, you know, you go to work, you bust your butt, you're there to provide, you're doing the best you can, but it's stressful. And you're driving home from work and you're still on a phone call and your boss is, you know, breathing down your neck and you're stressed. Your nervous system is at a heightened state and you walk in the home on the phone call still. Your spouse, your wife is there with their four or five kids. She's stressed out of her mind because the kids are at their wit's end. She's trying to get dinner ready. The house is a mess. You walk in and you're frustrated and it's a dumpster fire. Right. And usually what happens is both parties are not regulated. Both somebody says something snippy, the other person reacts and responds because they take it defensively. This happens all across the world every day in millions of homes. Children are seeing this. Men think it's their right that they should be able to come home and turn on ESPN and relax, numb out. But on the flip side, the spouse thinks like, I've been here all day. I've been here working these, like, it's your turn. I'm tapping out. And her, you know, kid time is at its wit's end. And until we start to recognize, and men, we need to lead in this. Now, I'm not saying that women are off the hook, but I'm talking to men. I am a man. So let's talk what the men can do here. Here's my suggestion. You're coming home from work. You have 5 to 10, 15 minute drive. Or if you work from home, you need to stop your work 10 to 15 minutes before you interact with your family. And you need to take, I would suggest 5 to 10 box breathing method, 5 seconds in through the nose, hold for 5 seconds, 10 seconds out the mouth. Do that 5 to 10 times until you've calmed your state of mind. It really can reset your nervous system. You need that time. Do it in the car, do it in your home office, but do it before you step into that familial role as the father.
And let me interject here for a second. We had on the podcast once a guest who used to climb these huge cliffs, and he'd be up, you know, hundreds and hundreds of feet, and he'd have a panic attack where you literally are like, oh my goodness. And you lose control of your mind for a little bit. And he said, if he would do exactly that, exactly what you're saying, where he would take some deep breaths. And for him, it was 3 11-second breaths. If I could go 11 seconds breathing in and out, he said I could get my nervous system to calm down, and your brain actually takes over and says, hey, things are going to be okay when you breathe like that. And so whether it's, hey, I'm going to go inside a house and I'm going to have people who are mad at me or a little frustrated with me or whatever it is, or I'm hanging on a cliff, it's the same process, right? We got to calm ourselves down and do just that. So thanks for saying that. I just thought I'd interject that. Continue on.
Well, this is a principle you can use all the time. If you're more of an anxious person, the box breathing method is phenomenal. And this is a scientific, this isn't some woo-woo. This is like science-backed. Breathing can help to reduce the anxiety and the nervous system in our bodies. Like that's just purely simple how to do it. And so I highly, highly recommend people and individuals starting to understand what breathing means for them. So breathing is just one element, but breathing is the beginning of it. And then what you need to be able to do is if you have some deep frustration or some deep wound that you're struggling with, whether it's with the person at work or whether it's with your spouse or whatever happened in your life that got you pissy, is for men, this is different for women, right? But for men very specifically, I went through a program called the Bulletproof Husband Program. And it was an incredible insight on how men find the true depths of emotion for their healing. And they said, women are really good at talk therapy. They're able to go to a therapist, talk it all out, which is why they like to talk to us because they want to talk through things and they can heal through talking. for men, a lot of times, and we need to talk and we need to be open and we need to be vulnerable. But a lot of times the depths of emotion that we've maybe pushed down and down and down throughout our lives, because we were told to just pick back up and keep going our entire lives, right? Especially our generation. You know, I'm 42 now, and it was essentially 40 years of me suppressing emotion to just keep going. Is to take a moment in a car alone with no one there and no one around. And if you need to release some of this emotion or this pressure, I know it's going to sound crazy, but try it. You scream at the top of your lungs for 1, 2, 3 minutes, maybe 5 minutes max. And it's you're alone. No one should be there. No one should be able to hear you. This is just you alone. Take a moment and let that out as deep as you possibly can. And what I'll tell you is that by the time you get to minute 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, your true emotion will start to come to the surface. And what happens is usually men start to sob. And I'm talking like boogers all over the face sobbing. And so bring a towel or a paper towel or whatever. Because when you truly dig that deep into the emotion and you start to release layer by layer, there's a level of healing. And for me, I use that time to call out to God. I'm not screaming at God. I'm not blaming God. I'm not shaking my fist at God. That's not what I'm doing. But I'm trying to get to the depths of the emotion of the hurt that even came from childhood. Even if it's not big T trauma, it's a little T trauma that you received. Little things like not feeling loved or seen or heard. These are things that men struggle with, and yet our subconscious knows, our inner child knows, but we as men somehow over the course of our 40 plus year, you know, time frame here on the earth, we've suppressed it so much that we don't realize we have wounds that need to be healed. And I personally can testify, can preach that when I did that layer by layer, as the true emotion and the tears would come, I felt an incredible layer of healing. To me, it's a God-given healing because he is, you know, Jesus is our master healer. And so I incorporate him in this whole process for me. But until I allowed that depth of emotion to come to the surface, again, alone, by myself, just God and I, that's when real things started to change for me. And what you'll notice as you dry off your face and you take those deep breaths and you get off the dang phone before you get in the house, don't be on the phone when you step in the house, is that you can be so much more present of a father and as a husband than you ever imagined you would be. And when the fiery darts come at you because you forgot to pick up the bread coming home from work or whatever it was, that you don't fly off the handle and react in a negative way, that you can take accountability for what you needed to do, take responsibility, and be calm and cool and collected, emotionally regulated, that gives space for your children and for your spouse to express those emotions. And I know this is probably a longer description than you wanted, but to me, there's just not enough men who have been through this experience to know how insanely valuable it can be for their home. And I just pray that you will, whoever's listening, try it. Even if you just try it once, just try it and see if it makes a difference for you when you step into your home in a calm, cool, regulated state where you have a positive mindset going in, even if you know you're going to be hounded on for whatever thing happened that day, that you can take that critical feedback and be emotionally regulated enough to listen and hear. And even if you don't agree, you don't always have to agree with what's being told to you, that you can hear her, help her feel seen and safe, right? If you can give her that emotionally safe space as the bowl, you will be dramatically impacted in the level of connection you can have in your relationship. And, you know, I'm passionate about this because I feel like, you know, Jesus is the ultimate example of divine masculine. And if you look at him in his example through the scriptures, his ability to be emotionally regulated when things went crazy. People are about to stone the woman who was caught in adultery. Think about the level of people are yelling and cussing him out and her out and, you know, accusing her of this sin, which she did do. And he was silent for a moment, right? In my mind, I visualize him breathing, right? This is Yahweh. This is the breath. This is the life. This is the light of the world. And he takes a moment to stay calm and collected. He's drawing in the sand or the dirt. And I just envision this crowd that's just going, you know, that's intense. And they calm down when they see him calm. Their emotions start to calm down because he's calm. And then he says, obviously, something to the effect of, those without sin cast the first stone. And what does it say? They all walk away because none were sinless. Their sin looked different than hers. But his calmness in, if you imagine the state of that, you know, environment was extremely chaotic. And yet that calmness was one of the most incredible ways that Jesus showed us as men how we can be divinely masculine. Now, I'm going to do one more thing and then I'm going to let you jump in. One more thing, because people, you know, will say, but wait a minute.
Maybe he...
Oh, go for it.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Just that if we think about the example in the scriptures where he then goes to the temple and he sees the money changers and he is PO'd because they have defiled the house of his father. And he goes in there and he throws the tables. Now, I think as a divine masculine role, there is a time where we need to be not just the provider, but also the protector of our families. And there are correct moments in time where we do need to use our strength and our voice to stand up for truth and what is right. And he did that in the temple. And so some people say, you know, Jesus wasn't always just this calm, cool, collected guy. You know, he was and had the elements of masculinity that we all strive to have. He was the perfect example. And so we can try our best to be like him. And that's the hope behind, for me, Fatherhood Movement. And the book that I'm writing is to help people in that process. Okay, I'll step down the soapbox. Let's dive in.
No, Bubba, I appreciate you sharing that. And let's take one thing at a time here. You know, one of the things you said is being able to get in touch with that emotion so you can heal it. And I'm sure that there's some great value in that. I think sometimes I'm going to just push back a little bit on some of this. I think sometimes people think that I have to go relive everything so many times again and again and bring up all this pain so that I can heal. And the underlying assumption is that we're balloons. So like we're this balloon. And if we don't vent this emotion, somehow we're going to pop. Now, there is some truth in my view to say, hey, we've got to get down there and get it. But the problem is, I think a lot of, let me tell you another theory that could be, is that instead of being like balloons that might pop if we don't vent, maybe we're more like trail builders. And let me give you an example. So if I go to an emotion of appreciation, or I go to an emotion of, hey, I'm going to be grateful for the good things my wife is doing, or good things my children are doing, or how this, it's like you build a trail in your mind. So the science of the mind says, hey, look, I can do this math problem. And the reason I can do it is because I've built a neural pathway to it. And the more I do that same math kind of problem, the better I get at math. Well, the more, you can drive to work and you know how to get there almost automatically because you have a neural pathway that tells you how to get to work. Well, if I go to the emotion of anger again and again and again, it might start out as a pathway to anger. Then it becomes a big pathway in the woods. Then eventually I can build it into a sidewalk. Then I can build it into a road. Then I can build it into a big, huge superhighway. And so I think the experience of saying, I'm going to go to anger, sometimes doesn't serve people. Now, I realize this is contrary to what a lot of therapists say. A lot of therapists are like, no, you need to get in touch with your anger and let it out. And I think they're right to a point. Like, I think you really do have to say, okay, what happened? And try to get it over there. But if we take it too far and we say, I'm going to go to anger all the time, I think what happens is we're building a superhighway to anger, or we're building a superhighway to someplace else. And it becomes easier to become angry. It becomes easier to do that. So I really like what you said about, hey, like we as men are not healed. And because we're not healed, you know, our wives can come in and say something. And instead of just being that bowl for her, and letting her have space and not taking it personally, like, and I'm sure we've all done this, but like where we could just say, you know, I'm just going to let her emotions come out and listen. I heard it said something like this: when somebody's being emotional, it's like a wave that's coming up the beach. Okay. Now, I think Stephen Covey said this. I'd like to get your opinion. He was in Hawaii and there was this huge wave that came in one time, and it was like, basically it destroyed a lot, even killed some people, but there were two houses on the beach. One of them was a wall, and one of them was just on stilts. Okay. So you had this wall. He said, when this wave came up, it completely exploded the wall. The wall just went to bits. The house was destroyed. But the one that was on stilts, the water went underneath and it went up the beach and it spent itself and then went down and the house survived. And he's saying, when people are coming at you emotionally, so your wife's coming at you just totally mad, or somebody's coming at you, if we can let that water come up the beach, eventually it will spend itself. Then the time to address the issue is not when the wave's coming. The time to wait is till the waters are calm and we can be like we're in a boardroom and we wait till things are calm. Then we can address it. But to let the water come up the beach, which is kind of, you say, kind of be the bowl, like hold that emotion. But I would, my personal opinion is we got to caution about saying, let's practice going to anger a lot. Let's get in touch with it. Let's deal with our stuff. Let's heal. But then at some point we've got to say, hey, you know what? We're going to build neural pathways to gratitude. You know what? I don't know what this situation's, what God's given it, but I'm going to be grateful for it. I'm going to be grateful for the time I have with my children. I'm going to be grateful for these things and build neural pathways to there, because I think we're more like trail builders, less like balloons that are going to pop. And I know that there are a bunch of therapists that might disagree with me, and I'm willing to take that stand and say, you know what? Maybe I'm wrong, but I think I might not be. Let me support you.
Let me support you in that, because I should clarify the idea behind letting off the steam in your car before you come in. That shouldn't have to be a daily practice or even more consistent practice. I should have clarified, because for me personally, I'm not doing that every day either. But it is something where if there is a level of healing that hasn't been had, that being able to find your way to that depth of healing, if you can do it through meditation, fantastic. Most men, according to these programs that we did, most men are not able to reach the depth that they need without letting some of that out. But it's not something you would do every day. I think you're right. Right. Feeling like you need to go to anger every day would be a completely unhealthy thing to do. Hopefully you reach a level of depth, get those incremental pieces of healing to where then the calmness, the ability to have compassion and empathy is more of a natural thing. And so that this process of healing before you come in and step into that father role is, it becomes, that's your habit. Your habit is that you're thinking of how amazing your life is and how grateful you are. That's, I 100% agree and support that. And I should have been more careful and in explaining that. So I appreciate it. That's good clarification.
Sorry, I bleeped out there just a sec. I appreciate your clarification on that, Bubba. Really, really appreciate it. Can you hear me okay? Or are we frozen?
No, I can hear you now. It did freeze for a second, but.
Okay. Yeah, I really appreciate the clarification on that. And also, you know, I've had that same experience where you said, where I had a stressful day. I know it might be stressful going in. And that breathing, so valuable that you said, take the time to breathe, do the box breathing. And then even, you know, for me, it's helped sometimes to just say a prayer for each one of my kids, you know, say, I'm going to pray for my wife. I'm going to pray by name, each one of my kids, help me be a good dad and name them one by one. And just visualize going in there with love I think if you can do that and take care of the healing too, because I know, Bubba, you know, there are, I think you're right. There's so many men who could use that healing process. And then it makes you better to lead. And the three things that I think for dads, and one of the things I love that you said, you know, we're the three jobs of a dad, in my view, are to provide, preside, and protect. But we're not just ATMs. We got to lead in our homes. We got to take the time to say, you know what, we're going to teach principles. We're going to teach values. We're going to have a devotional. And then protect. We got to stand up against some of these things that are going crazy in our society. And if and we can't just be silent. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, some things really are right or wrong. And we've got to be able to say, you know what, that's not happening in my home. We're not going to allow, you know. And if people get mad at us, that may happen. But thanks for
No, I
sharing
you're
that. Really,
we've
really.
had leaders, right? We've had leaders talk about how it's we're no longer able to be on the fence. Like, you're gonna have to pick sides. And
Absolutely.
I'm hoping that I'm doing everything in my power to pick the side of Jesus in every way, right? And I make mistakes just like everybody else. But like, that's the hope, is there won't be a place in the middle. You will have to pick sides. And I think, look, we can be peacemakers, and
That's right.
we can be kind and loving to people of all different types of beliefs and cultures and backgrounds. Like, that's not what we're like peacemakers and lovers of all people. But there is truth. And you know, God is looking for his warriors. And we are going to be called to stand up, if we haven't already been called, to stand up for truth, even in the midst of potentially hurting our career, hurting our ego, hurting the reputation. Because look, in the scriptures, it's just story after story after story of people standing up for Christ and being humiliated or murdered or whatever it is, right? Like, and you know, look, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he had people doing it then, it's going to have to happen again. And I think that it's, I'm hearing, and you and I got connected because we have this passion, and we feel compelled to help more fathers recognize our true responsibility and role, and that we have to lead and stand up for truth. And yeah, we're going to get a lot of hate, and we're going to have people tell us that it's not politically correct, or that, especially talking about the dynamics maybe in the home, and or divine masculine, divine feminine. Like, my belief system is that we have a heavenly mother and a heavenly father, and that we were born as spiritual children first before we ever came to this earth as physical children. And if we were there in the spiritual world with our God, both heavenly mother and father, we were told as men and women, we were born men and women, male and female, just like Adam and Eve. We were given in the scriptures, biblically, roles and responsibilities. And this isn't like whatever's politically correct or not, like, this is from God. This isn't what man thinks. And again, not everybody's going to love that, hearing it, especially in today's day. But I cannot hide from what I believe to be true, and that's following the biblical principles around a family unit. And look, Satan is doing an incredible job to destroy the family unit. Look, people have look up ChatGPT and ask, if you were Satan, how would you destroy families today? And watch what it says. It'll go and attack men, and it'll attack women, it'll attack children. It's Satan and the adversary is trying to destroy the family unit, and it's going after men and women in our own unique ways to destroy what the true nature of being, you know, son and daughter of God, and of being in our divine masculine and feminine roles and responsibilities. And he's doing a dang good job, unfortunately. Unfortunately, he is doing a very, very good job of creating this divide. And it's scary, to be honest. It's scary to go out there and speak truth out to the world, because you're going to get canceled, hate on, right? But it's just one of those things. I feel like it does feel like there's been a shift. Like, look at Christian pop artists now are holding in the top 100 Billboard more than ever. Like, this has never occurred in the history of music to our knowledge. And Christian music is now like on the top of Billboard charts. You have more youth converting to Christianity than ever before, proclaiming in their belief in Jesus. Like, there is a movement, and I know God's got his hand behind it. And it will create a deeper divide. But man, I hope I can do my part. I just want to be an instrument and do what I'm meant to do, what I'm called to do, so that when I see the face of God again, that I can stand up and say, you know what, I did the best I knew how to do with the resources I knew how, and hopefully I can fulfill my calling on this earth. I mean, that's really what I feel the depths of emotion about. And, you know, I may lose some friends, and I may lose some followers along the way, and that's okay. As long as I'm on the path with him, then I feel like I'm in the right path. But it's a tough one. It's not for the faint of heart. Let's just put it that way.
There, you know, I love what you said there. There's this quote that said, you know, Jesus Christ was nothing like the popular, you know, I hope I can bring it up here. It's like popular, well-off, well-adjusted citizen. I mean, how it's hard to be well-adjusted if they nail you to a tree and crucify you. You know what I'm saying? So he, you know, it's sometimes people are going to reject what we have to say. And Winston Churchill said something like this. He said, you know, if you have enemies, that's good. I mean, just stood up for something sometime in your life. And again, we can be loving, we can be good. And that's super, super important. But I like what you said. It makes more sense, life. If you think that life, if we're just this accident that happened, we're like mold growing on an orange, like some people who say that life has no meaning, there's no God. It makes so much more sense when we know that there's a loving God who sent us here, and we have a purpose in life. And so to try to fulfill that purpose, for men who are feeling anxious right now, is it possible that your anxiety is caused because that purpose that you have in life, you're not doing it. You're spending time doing other things. You're scrolling, or you're playing video games, or you're on addictions or something. And deep down inside, you know, there's something that you made a promise that you would do that you're not doing. And so I think 100%. We're on the same movement here. I mean, I've had the opportunity of speaking with men who feel the same as you across the country, who feel this need to have men step up, join the movement, join this cause to say, we're going to protect our families, we're going to lead our families. And the last thing I wanted to ask you about, you know, there was, there's a man named Neil Maxwell who said, if we don't have enough effective parents, there will never be enough police. There will never be enough prisons if we don't have enough good parents. And I think in our society, I'd like to hear your opinion on this. People think the next politician is going to save us. It's either this person or this person. Or if we need more social programs or less social programs, we need more police or less police, or we need more courts or whatever it is. And the truth is, if we don't fix marriages and families, Bubba, if we don't fix marriages and families, everything else we do will be like straightening deck chairs on the Titanic. It's like throwing up it's like throwing up sandbags against a tsunami. Tell me your thoughts on that.
I mean, 100%. Everything happens in the home. It is our responsibility as parents to raise our children with the understanding of who God and Jesus Christ is. It is stated over and over. It is our responsibility to teach them. Now, look, every child has their own agency, and they can choose to believe or not believe, and that's okay. You know, we're not forcing anything on these individuals, but it is our duty to teach them the correct principles and then let them govern themselves, right? This is happening in homes that all over the world, that where you can have a positive impact because of your example as a parent. And usually that can only occur when you have a foundation of your own. It's when you are in a place where you have faith, or where you have done your healing, that then in turn, you can help your children to receive that same healing. And look, I know that there are many of you who are listening who are dealing with generational trauma, generational addictions, generational bad habits. And you're being called right now. If you're listening to this, this is your sign. You're being called to break the generational sin, to break that trauma. You can do it. And you're being called to do it because your children depend on it. And your children's children and generations to come will depend on you doing it. You know, I'm so grateful for my mother. My mother was, her mother was raised in an abusive alcoholic home. So my grandmother was the daughter of an alcoholic who abused his wife and possibly the children. And she hated him till the day she died. And it was so sad to see that anger that she had for her father. I remember pleading with my grandma, please just forgive your dad. He's been dead for 30 years. Like, let him, let it go. He's in heaven. He's for sure. He's reconciled and repented for his wrongdoings. Please, you know, it's only cankering your own soul of not forgiving. By the way, a book to read is called Total Forgiveness. Highly recommend it. Another one is The Beautiful Outlaw by John Eldridge. Unbelievable books that will help you on this path. And I look at my mother, who was then raised by this, by my grandma, who went through this abuse. And my grandma was able to do her best to not pass down that generational trauma. But it was my mom who truly converted to the gospel of Jesus Christ. She did not have necessarily, I mean, their parents were supportive, but did not do it for her. She was the one as a child with cousins surrounding her that got her to go to church and to come to know Jesus. And because of her, my mother, who stayed firm and steady, even though she didn't have that example in the home, her parents smoked and drank and look, they were wonderful, amazing people, but they weren't living the laws or the commandments necessarily. But it was my mom who broke this generational curse, I believe. And it allowed me to grow up into a home where I felt more loved and I felt and was taught about Jesus in my own home. And it allows me to teach my children. And now I'll help, you know, they'll teach their children. But if that wouldn't have stopped, and if that alcoholism would have gone through her mother to then my mother to then me, think about the different life I'd be living. And just know that if you were raised in an abusive home, that you can heal from that abuse. You can heal and help your children to not have to feel that pain and that anguish that you had to go through. And it is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that you can truly heal.
And it's so, so important. You know, yes.
Sorry, there's a delay.
No, you're exactly right. Exactly right. What we do in our own homes will echo through centuries, through eternity, really. The businesses that we build, truthfully, the stats show, even the big ones, even the ones on the S&P 500, usually within 18 years, they're done. So, and so you could put all your effort into building a business, all your effort into doing something, and usually within a decade or two, that business, that job, it's going to be bought, sold, bankrupted, disrupted. But what you do and the effort you put into healing, like you're saying, and breaking that generational curse, can be passed down for generations. Let me give you an example. Does anybody know? Do you know what your great-great-grandfather did for a living? Or your great-great-grandmother? You have 16 of them, by the way. And I'll ask people this question, and most people don't know. Some people know one or two, but you have 16. You don't care if they had the biggest horse or the coolest plow, if it was the BMW plow. You don't care if they had a few extra square feet, but the kind of parents they were and the choices they made in their own families affect you. And I'll give you one example. I live in America because some of my ancestors they made a family decision to get on a boat and come from Europe to America. Well, that decision made hundreds of years ago in some situations now affects the language I'm speaking to you. It affects my religion. It affects my educational opportunities, my economic opportunities. And that's an obvious one because it's geographical, but just as real are the things you were saying, Bubba, which is like, did they break that anger piece? Did they break that addiction piece? Did they break the abuse piece? And that can be passed down for just as long and affect generations. So it really is meaningful. And I love that you called the men out here to say, if you're hearing this, do it. Like, take the steps. So thank you, Bubba, for that.
Well,
you know,
man.
Bubba, I really, anything, let me ask you this. Really appreciate you having me on the show. How can people get a hold of you? Well, you mentioned some at the beginning. How can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, I mean, LinkedIn, if you're on the in the business world, Bubba Page on LinkedIn is great to connect. If you're on social media, I'm across all the platforms, primarily focus on Instagram. And so Instagram is just Bubba Page, P-A-G-E. Love to connect with you. I'd love to be able to talk about it. If you have thoughts, if you have ideas, if you want to contribute to the fatherhood movement, please connect. There's so many like-minded individuals like ourselves who are finding each other. And there's going to be an incredible uplifting motion as we all work together to, you know, rise all tides, basically. And I think it's a God-given thing. I think we're feeling compelled and pushed to do something. And there's a meaning behind it. We can heal a lot of people and get back to where we need to be.
Absolutely. And if there's one last thing that you would tell dads or just family, like what words of wisdom would you leave with us today, Bubba?
Yeah, two things. One, you are needed. The suicide rates of men are higher than women these days. And please know, if you're hearing this and you're stressed out of your mind, you're in the depths of depression, we need you here on this earth right now. God needs you to step up to be one of his warriors. So please, you are needed by us, by your family, by your children. If you're not here, they won't receive what they need from you. So please, number one, you are needed. Stay. Number two, connect with God deeper than you have ever connected. And right now, you pause the podcast and start saying a prayer. And if you feel like there's a copper ceiling that you can't get through, keep going until you can feel that ceiling be removed and the heavens are open to you. Your connection with God will do more than you can ever imagine for your own healing, for your relationships, and for your ability to do what he wants you to do. So just know that we're here to support. You know, we're both on this journey to help help men. So connect with us. You know, let's talk. And we can work together. We will have strength in numbers as we stand up for truth and for what is right. And we're preparing for him to come again. And I think this is part of this process.
Bubba, such words of wisdom. Gosh, know you're needed and reach out to God like you never have before. Thank you for sharing. Bubba, thank you for being on the podcast today. It's been an honor having you. Feel free to reach out to Bubba. We'll make sure to put his the ways to connect with him in the show notes for those of you who are driving or listening to the podcast when you can't take notes there. And thank you again, Bubba, for joining us. We'll see you next time on the Principal Podcast.
Hey, so great to have you. Great discussion.
Thanks, Bubba.